are working on this ISIS situation on multiple fronts. First, we're concerned, and it is starting to get some public notice, that Pastor Saeed Abedini is in a prison in Iran, and there are ISIS agents in that prison that have been arrested by the Iranian Revolutionary Guard, but they are directly threatening the life of Saeed Abedini. I'm going to be on with Greta Van Susteren tonight on Fox News with Nagme and Franklin Graham discussing this. So that's number one. Number two, ISIS is moving its method of operation, I should say, and increasing its scope right now drastically. And the British have said that they will provide weapons to the Kurds. The United States is indicating that they might. But, Fan, there has been this hesitancy on the U.S. part to engage on this that is very, very troubling.
Yeah, and I think you're probably going to hear Senator Graham talk about this. I know he's used the phrase disengagement strategy, and, you know, that has been something that the president has long been engaged in. But, you know, Jay, unfortunately, a number of members of the House and Senate are there as well. And I think some of that has to do with the fact that they don't believe these airstrikes are having a huge impact. And just to set the stage for that discussion, we have to remind folks, part of the reason that they are having limited success is the fact that we had a two-month delay from the president. And in the meantime, ISIS rolled through Iraq and Syria. They collected U.S.-made artillery and weaponry, and they spread out. So, of course, the impact of those strikes was going to be limited. We have to re-engage. It starts with people speaking out, getting members of Congress to engage aggressively so that the commander-in-chief will follow suit.
This is a clash of civilization, folks, in a way we have not seen in our lifetime. And I will tell you this. I think since 9/11, we're looking at the most recent significant threat with lethality greater than even 9/11, because we know they have radiological and radioactive materials that could certainly make dirty bombs. We also know that ISIS sites are on the United States. So we've got this hitting on multiple fronts right now. But here's what we've got to do. We've got to stop the genocide of Christians, including children and women and little babies. I'm talking to people in the region, folks. You heard from Chris Mitchell just the other day. What's going on there is horrendous. They're cutting children in half. We've got to fight back. You go to ACLJ.org or call us at 1-877-989-2255. That's ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. Look, we're almost at 150,000 signatures on this petition. I want to move it now towards 200,000. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. It is critical that you speak out. Again, ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. And don't forget our matching challenge at ACLJ.org.
It's an atrocity that's unfolding half a world away. Thousands of Christians being murdered, slaughtered by radical Muslims. A deliberate and calculated attempt to wipe out the Christian minority in Iraq. The terrorists targeting Christians are known as the Al-Qaeda of Iraq, and their brutal tactics are designed to accomplish one goal: remove Christians from Iraq. Christians there face a very disturbing ultimatum: convert to Islam, pay an exorbitant fine, or die. Those who do not comply, according to the terrorist group, will, quote, face death by the sword. This persecution of Christians must not be permitted to continue. Stand with the ACLJ and demand that the United States and other nations engage. It's imperative there must be a global outcry and global action to stop the slaughter of Iraqi Christians. Call now 1-877-989-2255. Or please add your name online, ACLJ.org.
This is Jay Sekulow, Chief Counsel for the ACLJ. The battle to defend our religious freedom is being fought in courtrooms at the highest level. The need for exceptionally trained lawyers to protect our future is vital. Regent University School of Law is the nation's preeminent Christian law program for anyone considering a career in law today. ABA accredited Regent Law ranks top 10 in the nation in faculty, according to the Princeton Review. With over 66 awards, Regent also placed in the top two in the Oxford University Global Moot Court Championship, besting both Oxford and Cambridge. The ACLJ is located on Regent's campus in Virginia Beach, Virginia, offering students an unprecedented opportunity to work on landmark Supreme Court cases through our association. Real world training by real world lawyers for today's unprecedented challenges. Come and study law where the law began. For information, go to regent.edu/law. That's regent.edu/law.
Completely overrun and dissolved the border now between Iraq and Syria. And as you heard them say, they didn't do that with a passport. They did it with a sword and with their weapons. And what is more troubling is that anybody can cross that border now. It is really not a border between two countries anymore. It is the development of a new country that is known as IS, the Islamic State, the likes of which we really have never seen.
Back to the broadcast, everyone. In just moments, Senator Lindsey Graham is going to be joining us. Before he does, I want to be able to tell him how many people we have signing these petitions. We're at 149,700 or so. We want to get to 150,000 by the next few minutes, and then well over that by the time that we conclude this petition drive in the next few days. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255 for you to sign that petition. It's ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. Let's welcome Senator Lindsey Graham. Joining us on the phone right now is a very good friend of ours, Senator Lindsey Graham from South Carolina. But as I always say in talking about South Carolina and Lindsey Graham, he represents South Carolina great, but he does a great job for all of us, especially those of us concerned about the situation with the war on terror, or what the president doesn't want to call the war on terror. But Senator Graham, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you for having me. I saw your petition. You're doing a good thing here.
Thank you. Let me ask you this. I, last month, made a presentation at Oxford University in England on the situation with ISIS. There was one of the experts in the area who's pretty left of center and thinks you can negotiate just about everything. But when it came to ISIS, he said, you've got to crush them. Those were his words from this guy that was very left of center on these kind of issues. Senator, you've been very outspoken on this. What is the danger we're facing with ISIS right now?
The gentleman said you have to crush them. He's right. First, you got to establish what kind of threat do they present and what's the best strategy to contain that threat. They represent a threat to the stability of the Mideast. This is a war against mankind, not just a particular religion. They represent a threat to our homeland, according to the FBI director, the director of national security, the CIA director, the attorney general, and the director of homeland security have all said that the ISIS safe haven in Syria, now Iraq, represents a direct threat to our homeland. They're not a terrorist organization, they're a terrorist army. They're emboldened. They have $2 billion of assets under their control. They have a large cache of weapons. So what you have to do is create multiple fronts against them. The key to winning a war or, you know, any other battle is to create more problems for your enemy than they're creating for you. So I would consider this threat from ISIS the largest and most significant threat to our homeland since 9/11. Now, I would hit them on multiple fronts with partners. I would partner with the Iraqi new government to try to rally the army, pull the Sunni Iraqis away from ISIS inside of Iraq and hit them from the south. I would heavily arm the Kurds, who are good fighters, to hit them up north using American air power in support of both the Iraqi army and the Kurdish Peshmerga. I would hit them in Syria, because if you don't hit them in Syria, that's where their command and control exists. That's where their supply depots exist. I would try to rally what's left of the Free Syrian Army to create a ground offensive against them. I would ask my military commanders, give me a strategy to diminish and defeat these guys. If I need boots on the ground, I would consider that, but I think we can do it without boots on the ground. But I'd come up with a strategy not only to protect humanitarian needs of the Iraqi people, but to deal with the threat they present to the homeland and to the Western world in general.
You know, Senator, you just said, and this is a theme we've been dealing with as well, this kind of clash of civilizations here, clash of worldviews, a battle against mankind. When you look at the nature of the threat, I noticed yesterday that David Cameron and the parliament had authorized military weaponry to be sent directly to the Kurds. Effective today. The French have already started that process. Let's talk about our reaction here, because it's not just, as you mentioned, there's, of course, there is, and I never want to downplay the humanitarian
aspect of it, and the massacre of Christians that's taking place. I mean, this group is marking Christians with a symbol of N for Nazarene, and then killing many of them, kids included, and putting women into sex slavery. I mean, it's horrendous. But when you talk about the sheer threat potential and lethality of which they control, and the money. Now, there were reports this morning, and you're a judge advocate general as well in the military and the Air Force. When you look at this threat compared to where we've been with the al-Qaedas of the world, how do you put this on the level of danger?
Oh, I'd put it the most significant threat to the homeland and to our way of life since 9/11. They've got a list of things they want to accomplish. They want every Muslim in the region to bend to their will. They want an Islamic caliphate that has to adhere to the most extreme Sunni version of Islam. And when they conquer a town, they impose that form of religion. If you're a Christian or you're a Shiite, you're an infidel, and you know, your fate is certain. They also want to drive us, the United States, out of the region because we're an impediment to being able to accomplish their goals. As to the Christian population, they want to eradicate it by three different means: conversion, displacement, or death. And they're actually executing their battle plan.
Yep.
They want to destroy the state of Israel, and on the list is to strike the American homeland. My problem with President Obama is he doesn't level with the American people. Every intelligence agency in America has told members of Congress and the president this is a great threat growing in nature, and the president talks about internal politics inside of Baghdad. He doesn't understand, I believe, that his lack of strategy to deal with this threat is allowing these guys to get stronger, and he will not go where I want to take him, because if he did, it would be an admission that his foreign policy of leading from behind, a small footprint, disengagement has failed. He's vain and stubborn to a fault.
You know, I get this sense, Senator, that he's almost blinded by this kind of a, I wouldn't put on the same level of Chamberlain necessarily, but he's almost blinded by a desire to appease, as if you kind of work the situation and make a speech, it'll go away. I mean, the White House is claiming victory because the people that were on top of the mountain, the numbers weren't as great. A lot of people were able to get out because of our United States Air Force. But that we kind of characterize ISIS as water. They go to the area of least resistance and then use every power they have to move forward. So they get off the mountaintop and they go to another place. This threat isn't over because the mountain, so to speak, has been liberated.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good summary. I think what the president's trying to do is not embrace the reality of the failure of his foreign policy. We told him 3 years ago that if you don't deal with Syria decisively, a vacuum will be created in Syria. There was a moment of opportunity to take Assad out. Hezbollah came to Assad's aid. Russia came to Assad's aid. Iran came to Assad's aid, and we backed off from the Syrian Free Army. These foreign fighters called ISA moved from Iraq into Syria. They come from all over the world, and his bad bets have blown up in his face. His indecision over a three-year period has caught up with him and is going to catch us here. President Bush made many mistakes early on in the Iraq war. He underestimated the number of troops we'd need to bring security to Iraq. We wrote it off as a few dead enders. Back then, Senator McCain and myself criticized President Bush, asked for Rumsfeld to be fired because he didn't understand the threat. President Bush, to his credit, adjusted his strategy.
Right.
All leaders make mistakes. The key to being a good leader is how you adjust your strategy. He is playing to our war weariness. He is worried more about his left base than I think he should, and he's not rising to the moment. And as a Republican, I will help him, give him what support I can to defeat this enemy. I will not empower his behavior to allow this enemy to get stronger because of domestic politics.
All right, we've got more coming up with Senator Graham, but before we go to the break, you go to your phones, folks, at 1-877-989-2255. You heard what Senator Graham said. You realize the nature of the threat. We can fight back and we can win this. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. That's ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. By the way, the UN says the humanitarian crisis is still at its highest level. Christians are still being targeted in aggressive ways by ISIS. We said it in Oxford, England, to people from all over the world. We've got to eliminate this threat from ISIS. Help us stop the genocide of Iraqi Christians at ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. I need everybody going to the phones right now. 1-877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org. Back with Senator Graham in just a moment.
The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, holding the Internal Revenue Service accountable for a targeting scheme aimed at conservative and Tea Party groups. The ACLJ represents 41 organizations in 22 states in the largest lawsuit against the IRS on behalf of targeted Americans. Now it is time for the story to be told. The ACLJ has put together a short movie telling the story and explaining the high stakes of our fight against IRS abuse. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sat down with Senators Ted Cruz and Rand Paul, Dr. Ben Carson, and many national leaders to tell this critical story. You can watch this movie free of charge. Go online to download this powerful new film, Tax Invasion, at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. It's an atrocity that's unfolding half a world away. Thousands of Christians being murdered, slaughtered by radical Muslims. A deliberate and calculated attempt to wipe out the Christian minority in Iraq. The terrorists targeting Christians are known as the Al-Qaeda of Iraq, and their brutal tactics are designed to accomplish one goal: remove Christians from Iraq. Christians there face a very disturbing ultimatum: convert to Islam, pay an exorbitant fine, or die. Those who do not comply, according to the terrorist group, will, quote, face death by the sword. This persecution of Christians must not be permitted to continue. Stand with the ACLJ and demand that the United States and other nations engage. It's imperative there must be a global outcry and global action to stop the slaughter of Iraqi Christians. Call now 1-877-989-2255. Or please add your name online, ACLJ.org.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. We're going to be joined again by Senator Lindsey Graham. Before we do, folks, if you haven't signed this petition, you heard Senator Graham talking about it, do it now. ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org. Now back to the interview with Senator Graham. Senator, there's the second aspect of that, and I really appreciate what you're saying here, is when you make the statement that the 3 years of the policy, 4 years of policy are now catching up with us. We're hearing from people from all over the country. Our response has been record numbers of people listening to broadcast, people responding, but they're asking for hope here. I mean, people want to know, what can we do? What can the Senate do? How do we move on this? And how do we move on this in a way that protects the interests of the United States? You're talking to a lot of people right now on this radio broadcast. What would you tell them? Because people are looking to you because you are one of the leaders, if not the top two or three leaders in the country on this issue. You've been an outspoken, direct asset, I call it, to get the truth out. What do we do here? What can the American – there's this pent-up frustration across the political spectrum – of we need hope, we need to do something. This is, it looks like everybody seems to be saying it's the most dangerous situation. What do we do?
Well, I think the first thing we got to realize that in our constitutional democracy, there's only one commander-in-chief, not 535. So the what can we do? As a Republican, I am trying to stamp out this disengagement strategy that's also in existence in our party. They're members of my own party
yep.
who want to take a laissez-faire, let's lead from behind, Fortress America approach to radical Islam. Radical Islam won't defeat itself. Somebody has to engage. The good news for us is that Muslims throughout the world, generally speaking, do not want to live under this ISA thumb that Western Europe is threatened to. There is a coalition within the Mideast and Western Europe that we could form that could deal decisively with this problem, but it takes leadership. What can you do? You can sign your petition. The petition you have to protect Christian populations is long overdue. You can send it to every member of the House and the Senate. There's political fear in America that if we talk about reengaging in war in the Mideast, that somehow you're risking your job. My job is to be honest with the people of South Carolina, clearly define the threats we face. Here's the threats we face. Radical Islam is stronger than ever. There are more terrorist organizations, more safe havens, with more money, more capability, and more weapons to strike the homeland than before 9/11. Bin Laden was killed. That was a seminal moment held as the turning the tide of battle. From Bin Laden's death to now, there are more terrorist threats than ever against our homeland. It's just not in Iraq and Syria. It's in Libya. It's in Northern Africa. So what can your audience do? You can pray yep. for the people of Israel because they're under siege by radical Islamists. You can pray that our country's leadership will wake up and deal with the radical Islamic threat that is not just a war against Christians. It's a war against a loving God and mankind,
yep.
and there is no place for second. There's no prize for second place. Rally our political leadership. Don't let them off the hook. I've made a challenge all over America to any member of Congress. If you disagree with my assessment that they represent a threat to the homeland, ISIS, please come forward and let's have that debate. Have you not been to these meetings I've attended? Have you not been listening to what our intelligence community says? So, one, I want to call out every member of Congress. Do you agree that they are a threat to the homeland? Can you find a force within the Mideast that can defeat this threat without American air power as a minimum? What is your strategy to keep the war from coming from there to coming here? So push political leaders, particularly in the Republican Party, to get a spine and push the president to come up with a strategy to protect the populations over there that are at risk, but also to protect our homeland.
You know, there's an interesting quote, Senator. I appreciate what you just said from Benjamin Disraeli, the British prime minister. And he said in dealing with the Middle East, he called it a lifetime and lifelong occupation when you're dealing with the Levant, with the Middle East. And the sense that this is just going to go away, which you've successfully made very clear it's not just by closing our eyes, is something that the American people need to hear. You made a statement. I want to follow up on it if I can. And this is a concern that I have. There are some, even within the Republican Party, that are taking this kind of, as you say, laissez-faire attitude, but almost almost to just ignore it as if it'll go away and it's not our problem because, you know, it's not directly impacting the United States, which I think is a really false statement considering the leader of ISIS said when he was released from prison in Iraq, said, I'll see you in New York. But we've got to get that across to members, of course, Democrats and Republicans, but even within the Republican Party, the Republican members of Senate, there are some that are saying that position. How, do we just deal with it head on? Have these our people call these senators saying we must engage here?
Well, you have been one of the few voices. Remember during the dark days of when this isolationist doctrine began to dominate the Republican Party, when we had one amendment after another
right.
turning the war into a crime. If we caught an American citizen who was collaborating with Al-Qaeda, that they had to be read their Miranda rights. They couldn't be held under the law of war. Remember how me and you and just a handful of us fought back?
Right.
Well, now how many people believe? If you caught an American citizen coming back from Syria, the last thing I want them to hear is you have the right to remain silent.
Right.
They have collaborated with the enemy. They should be held under the law of war, which is legal.
Right.
The Supreme Court has said that an American citizen can be an enemy combatant. So the only thing I want to say is that you and your team have kept a clear-eyed view that there's a difference between fighting a war and fighting a crime. to the people in the Republican Party who don't get this. You know, libertarians are a very important part of our coalition, but I'm not a libertarian. I don't believe in Fortress America. I believe that America should shape the world. I'm a Ronald Reagan Republican who wants to take evil head on before it gets here. We need lines of defenses throughout the world. We had a chance. The surge did work. Obama blew it. We had a chance to turn Iraq into a stable place. We have that same opportunity in Afghanistan. But no, he withdrew, and he's claiming it wasn't his decision. That's a bald-faced misstatement, rewriting of history. To the Republican Party, get back to your roots of being peace through strength. Don't become Fortress America. Don't get to Obama's left. Take the fight to radical Islam before it's too late. We have a chance to elect a new president in 2016. We have a chance to elect new members of the House and the Senate. Push every member of Congress running for office to clearly define who they are in terms of national security.
Senator Lindsey Graham, I can't thank you enough for being with us. I appreciate your work, and I appreciate your friendship. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, Jay, very much.
Great. All right, everybody, we're going to be here for another half hour. If you're not getting the full hour of the broadcast, you need to go over to ACLJ.org, SiriusXM. Of course, you've got a number of stations. By the way, I'm going to be on a conversation with Sean Hannity, so you're not going to want to miss that. That's coming up in the broadcast as well, so stay tuned for that. Like us and share us on Facebook, folks. We're getting close to 2 million between mine and the ACLJ. 2 million people we communicate with instantaneously. Like us on Facebook right now. But again, if you have not signed the petition to stop the genocide of Iraqi Christians, if you haven't made that stand yet, you go to ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. That's ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. It is critical that we hear from you. Again, ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. And don't forget that matching challenge at ACLJ.org.
Who do not comply, according to the terrorist group, will, quote, face death by the sword. This persecution of Christians must not be permitted to continue. Stand with the ACLJ and demand that the United States and other nations engage. It's imperative there must be a global outcry and global action to stop the slaughter of Iraqi Christians. Call now 1-877-989-2255 or please add your name online, ACLJ.org.
To the broadcast, everyone. Jam-packed program. We just had Senator Lindsey Graham. Than Bennett's in her office in Washington, D.C., and I'm going to be playing in a moment after the break my conversation with Sean Hannity on this very topic, including the situation with Pastor Saeed Abedini. Don't forget to pray for Saeed Abedini. He is in a prison right now with ISIS agents. The Iranians have arrested them, these ISIS agents, because they consider them a threat to the Iranian regime. That's the Sunni ISIS and the Shia Iran, and that's part of the internal conflict within Islam. Now, having said that, the reality is we are also mobilizing at the UN. We have sent our first series of documents in to the UN on the Israel situation with Hamas. We're also doing that as it relates to the situation in Iraq and Syria. And we also need to be concerned about Jordan, folks. I think ISIS is going to merge and morph towards Jordan. And that's right on the border then with Israel. That's an adjoining state, so you could have serious trouble. And there's good cooperation between Israel and Jordan. You get ISIS in the mix, it could be a really dangerous situation. Than, what are you hearing? I know everybody's on, they're on leave, but we're hearing from their staff. What are you hearing?
Yeah, I thought the most important part of that interview with Senator Graham really echoes what I'm hearing in Washington, D.C., and that is when he repeatedly called ISIS the greatest threat to our homeland since 9/11. And folks really need to key in on that word, homeland. You know, the stated goal of ISIS is a global caliphate, Jay. You have said it repeatedly on this program. They promised to raise the black flag of Allah over the White House. What does that mean? That means once they conquer in Iraq and Syria, they want to come after the West. They want to come after the rest of the world. So when we are asking our members to engage, yes, we are asking them to engage on behalf of Iraqi Christians. But, Jay, we are also asking them to address this threat and to help us stop this threat before it reaches the rest of the world. This disengagement strategy that Senator Graham talked about, it has to be pushed back against now. Otherwise, the rest of the world is in the target of ISIS.
You know, it's interesting because Senator Graham said this isn't a Republican issue. He said friends within his own party have got to toughen up on this issue. And of course, he said everybody that's running for the Senate and for the House, both sides, Republican, Democrat, need to be talked to by the American people. You have the right to do that and express your concern here. I mean, we're talking about a serious look, folks. I was in Oxford University for 3 weeks dealing with this issue with people from all over the world. Young people in government. Professors that have been studying this area of the world and this area of law and policy for 30 and 40 years. There was not unanimity on many topics. There was discussions and debates on Hamas and Israel. But I'll tell you, on ISIS, there was unanimity. I'll never forget Dr. Farhang Jahanpour, a well-respected expert on Iran, an Oxford tutor, who said when we got to the discussion, he said he's a guy that was urging Israel and Hamas to sit down together and work it out, which I don't think he could do that with Hamas. And I said, made that very clear. But when it came to ISIS, he said, crush them. That's the nature of, you've got that kind of people, people that want to always try to work it out, saying crush them. They know the danger of this threat, how serious it is. But folks, this is where you come in, and we could take direct action here. You're going to hear in just a few minutes my conversation with Sean Hannity, really talking about Pastor Saeed Abedini and others. This is a seriously dangerous situation. We need your help. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. That's ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. There's a couple other things we need you to do here. You can link us and like us on Facebook. It is really critical. It's becoming a main vehicle for us to communicate with you is via Facebook. So I encourage you, I don't have a Facebook account, you should get one, and link and like us and share that with your friends. It makes a big difference. Also, we're in that matching challenge campaign. It's gone great, by the way. We've hardly even mentioned it on air, but our donors and members are supporting in a huge way. You can do that easily at aclj.org. Any amount you donate, we get a matching gift for. But, folks, everybody needs to sign on to this petition. That's 1-877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255 or aclj.org. Also, let me ask you to do this. We're going to be on with Greta Van Susteren tonight. I'm going to be on with Nagmeh. I think Franklin Graham's going to be on as well, talking about the situation with Pastor Saeed. Pray for us. Pray for Nagmeh especially, that she can again articulately, as she's done so well, communicate the danger that her husband's in and mobilizing people around the world to pray for their family. We'll be back with more, including my interview with Sean Hannity, in just a moment.
It's an atrocity that's unfolding half a world away. Thousands of Christians being murdered, slaughtered, by radical Muslims, a deliberate and calculated attempt to wipe out the Christian minority in Iraq. The terrorists targeting Christians are known as the Al-Qaeda of Iraq, and their brutal tactics are designed to accomplish one goal: remove Christians from Iraq. Christians there face a very disturbing ultimatum: convert to Islam, pay an exorbitant fine, or die. Those who do not comply, according to the terrorist group, will, quote, face death by the sword. This persecution of Christians must not be permitted to continue. Stand with the ACLJ and demand that the United States and other nations engage. It's imperative there must be a global outcry and global action to stop the slaughter of Iraqi Christians. Call now 1-877-989-2255 or please add your name online, aclj.org. The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, holding the Internal Revenue Service accountable for a targeting scheme aimed at conservative and Tea Party groups. The ACLJ represents 41 organizations in 22 states in the largest lawsuit against the IRS on behalf of targeted Americans. Now it is time for the story to be told. The ACLJ has put together a short movie telling the story and explaining the high stakes of our fight against IRS abuse. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sat down with Senators Ted Cruz and Rand Paul, Dr. Ben Carson, and many national leaders to tell this critical story. You can watch this movie free of charge. Go online to download this powerful new film, Tax Invasion, at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. Than Bennett in Washington, D.C. Listen, folks, we continue to talk about the situation in Iraq. The militant group ISIS, or the Islamic State, continues to roll through the territory. And, folks, there's no other way to say this. They are exterminating Christians. They are beheading them. They are executing them in cold blood. And, folks, I want to speak about this a little bit more broadly in the next segment of the broadcast. But in this segment, I actually wanted to play for you an interview that Jay did on Fox News talking about this situation and talking about how it is specifically impacting the plight of Pastor Saeed Abedini. As you know, he is in Rajah Shah prison, and he has been threatened by inmates inside the prison who claim an allegiance to ISIS. They have threatened to kill him. So, folks, even prisoners who are not actively engaged with ISIS as they roll through Iraq are finding a way to join this radical jihadi movement. And in this case, it is targeting Pastor Saeed Abedini, who is, of course, a U.S. citizen and has been in prison. It will be 2 years coming up on September 26th. Jay was on with Sean Hannity on his radio broadcast yesterday talking about this situation and how the two merge and really impact each other. I wanted to play that interview for you now. Let's go ahead and roll it.
Dear President Obama, please help bring my daddy home. I miss him so much. I want my daddy to bring me to Disneyland for my birthday. I don't want to miss another birthday without him. I don't want him to miss another birthday or Christmas or Father's Day. Please help bring him home. Why does our daddy need to be in prison for loving Jesus? My heart cries because it misses daddy, and it, when it's sleep, it cries, and it misses daddy a lot, and it doesn't stop crying, and it's crying right now.
Where is it crying? How do you know it's crying?
Because I feel it.
Oh, your heart is crying?
Yeah.
Oh.
I pray that they'll come back home, but he's still not back home.
That is the daughter of American pastor Saeed Abedini, and of course he is being held in an Iranian prison. And the American Center for Law and Justice has been working hard to get him freed. We've had very little help and support from the Obama White House. Now, Pastor Abedini is now facing death threats from ISIS terrorists who are being held in the same Iranian prison where the pastor is being held. And he has been able to communicate with family members and let them know that he fears for his life and that he was told that ISIS prisoners plan to murder him because of his Christian faith. Now, this is all part of our top story of the day, which is the now what is evolving into a Christian Holocaust, the rise of radical Islamists and their desire to literally rid the world of Christians and Jews. And what is the president going to do about it as he's on vacation? Jay Sekulow is back with us. Jay, you've been on this issue for a long time. It's a very important one. We're not making a lot of progress here, unfortunately.
No, and Sean, you said it right. I mean, you've got, you know, between Hamas trying to kill Jews in Israel, and you did a fantastic job uncovering that. And then you've got ISIS killing Christians in Iraq and in Syria. And now the complicating factor for Saeed Abedini's case, if it wasn't difficult enough that he was being held in an awful prison, the worst prison in Iran, by militant Iranian Revolutionary Guard members, they've now, this is how bad ISIS is, that the Iranian Revolutionary Guard have arrested ISIS agents that were operating in Iran because they're so dangerous. Unfortunately for Saeed Abedini, they placed those ISIS agents inside his prison at Rajashahr Prison in Iran, and they have made it not only clear, Sean, they have gone into his cell. Now, there were other prisoners there that stopped the death of Saeed Abedini from taking place, but they want to kill him because he's a Christian. And I will tell you this, and you know this, the Iranian guards are the only thing that's standing in the way right now between Saeed Abedini's life and death. There are a lot of people praying all over the world and people talking about it like you, and I really appreciate that. And some of those other prisoners that have been ministered to by Saeed Abedini while he's been in prison. That's the only thing that's keeping him alive right now. And the president does not need to simply ask for his release. This needs to be a demand. We're at the table with the Iranians, and we haven't gotten an American out of jail. And this is absurd, but this goes with the policies of the administration. They picked the wrong side on every single battle. But we need their help on this and the help of other governments, too, to get this guy out.
What I see happening simultaneously, I keep talking about this, and that is the rise of, you know, ISIS is as brutal as Al-Qaeda has been. They are far more evil, brutal in their tactics. I mentioned a story earlier about ISIS cutting a 5-year-old Christian boy in half. They're now telling, you know, people to either convert to Islam or die. And I don't see a whole lot of movement, effort, understanding of radical Islam as the root cause of this. Same thing with all these groups that threaten to wipe Israel off the map. If we're talking about Hamas, Hezbollah, Islamic Jihad, the Muslim Brotherhood, Al-Qaeda, ISIS, ISIL, it's all the same thing. It's all a desire to wipe Israel off the map and a modern day Holocaust. We're seeing a Holocaust, if you want to use that term, in terms of Christians being slaughtered if they don't convert to Islam, and they've all been chased out of their homes. And I don't see American leadership on the move dealing with the problem, identifying the problem. The problem is radical Islamists in one shape.
No, you're absolutely right. And Sean, I was just at Oxford University where I did an entire presentation on the situation with ISIS, and the moderator of the program, who is a professor at Oxford and a very moderate guy, one of these guys, you know, can't we get everybody to talk and work these things out? When it came to ISIS, this is what this professor from Oxford University during our debate program said. When we said, Professor Jeanampour, in dealing with this situation, what would you do with ISIS? His answer was, crush them. And he is a liberal, left of center, we can all work it out kind of guy. And he saw the situation. You have, you know, Al-Qaeda carried out the deadliest attack on American soil. We've already seen that. ISIS is more brutal than Al-Qaeda. That's why they were kicked out of Al-Qaeda. They have more financial resources than Al-Qaeda, $2 billion. They control more territory and possess more firepower than Al-Qaeda ever did. And they've seized uranium in sufficient quantities to at least make radiological dirty bombs.
I've been making this exact same point for weeks now. Nobody seems to understand the severity. Look, and we've got to also talk about the history. Remember, the president draws a red line in the sand with Syria.
Yep.
Okay. They cross that line. They kill citizens. The president does nothing. Sends a message to the world that he's weak. Then, so that increases the rise of ISIS. Now they have control of parts of Syria because the president politically, and he denied it this week, which was almost laughable, and we debunked that with his own words. The president now claims, it wasn't my decision to leave Iraq. That decision was made for me, when the exact opposite was true. That's what he campaigned on. That's what he did. All we needed to do was offer intelligence to the Iraqi forces, continue to train the Iraqi forces. Anyway, so that then opened up Iraq to be taken over, and all these cities in Iraq that we fought and bled and died for and lost 4,000 Americans in a war are falling one after another to this brutal terrorist group because of his policies. Even still, he doesn't go out and acknowledge that radical Islam is the problem.
He will never say that. And
why?
He doesn't say
why?
Any. Because, here's why, Sean. Because the president had a worldview that you could go over to Egypt, make a speech in Cairo, and kind of woo the Muslim world. But it didn't work out that way. If you look at what the administration has done, they have picked the wrong side of every single fight, debate, issue in the Middle East. Consistently, he's condemning Israel for their actions, but then says that Hamas was using, you know, not wise military tactics. Hamas was the one committing the war crimes. Never would that come out of the president's mouth. So what you've got is, and you got this guy, the head of ISIS, he leaves the Iraqi prison. You know what he tells his American captors? See you in New York. This is what they're saying.
See you in New York. See you in New York. And then their spokesman said this week that they want to raise the flag of Al-Qaeda in the White House.
Yeah, over the White House. And, by the way, you mentioned that what ISIS is doing, that five-year-old boy. There's been many of those kids that have been decapitated or cut in half. I know the pastor. The Anglican bishop or vicar of Baghdad.
Listen, but we can't even get the president to pick up the phone and tell Mexico to release Sergeant Tamarisi, for crying out loud.
Right.
How do we expect them to pick up the phone and challenge the mullahs in Iran?
Well, this is the fundamental problem that we have. So how do you go when you've got an administration that is bent on doing nothing significant to help, which could be a genocide taking place before our eyes, and if the administration is not willing to do anything? Are we in a point where we're going to be relying on the French, the Italians, and the British? You know, it was interesting because British Prime Minister a long time ago, Benjamin Disraeli, said when he was dealing with Russia, you cannot deal with them by arbitration. They only understood force.
And that's the problem here.
Again, folks, that was Jay on with Sean Hannity from yesterday. Listen, if you have not yet signed the petition for Pastor Saeed Abedini's release, you can do so online at BeHeardProject.com. Also, while you are there, there is a list of vigils that will be occurring on September 26th, which marks the two-year anniversary of Pastor Saeed's imprisonment. I encourage you, attend a local vigil in your area. You can find the entire list there. There will be hundreds worldwide. Again, it will be on September 26th, and you can find the entire list online at BeHeardProject.com. But as we go to a break today, stand with these Christians who are being exterminated by the Islamic State. Call now, 877-989-2255, or sign online at ACLJ.org. After this break, part two of Jay's interview with Sean Hannity.
This is Jay Sekulow, Chief Counsel for the ACLJ. The battle to defend our religious freedom is being fought in courtrooms at the highest level. The need for exceptionally trained lawyers to protect our future is vital. Regent University School of Law is the nation's preeminent Christian law program for anyone considering a career in law today. ABA-accredited Regent Law ranks top 10 in the nation in faculty, according to the Princeton Review. With over 66 awards, Regent also placed in the top two in the Oxford University Global Moot Court Championship, besting both Oxford and Cambridge. The ACLJ is located on Regent's campus in Virginia Beach, Virginia, offering students an unprecedented opportunity to work on landmark Supreme Court cases through our association. Real-world training by real-world lawyers for today's unprecedented challenges. Come and study law where the law began. For information, go to regent.edu/law. That's regent.edu/law.
It's an atrocity that's unfolding half a world away. Thousands of Christians being murdered, slaughtered by radical Muslims. A deliberate and calculated attempt to wipe out the Christian minority in Iraq. The terrorists targeting Christians are known as the Al-Qaeda of Iraq, and their brutal tactics are designed to accomplish one goal: remove Christians from Iraq. Christians there face a very disturbing ultimatum: convert to Islam, pay an exorbitant fine, or die. Those who do not comply, according to the terrorist group, will, quote, face death by the sword. This persecution of Christians must not be permitted to continue. Stand with the ACLJ and demand that the United States and other nations engage. It's imperative there must be a global outcry and global action to stop the slaughter of Iraqi Christians. Call now, 1-877-989-2255, or please add your name online, aclj.org.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the broadcast. Stan Bennett in Washington, D.C. We are going to jump right back into this interview that Jay did with Sean Hannity on his radio broadcast, talking about ISIS and also how it is impacting Pastor Saeed Abedini, how Pastor Saeed's life is in grave danger due to inmates who actually have pledged allegiance to ISIS. Again, this is Jay with Sean Hannity, part two of that interview.
So last night, I'm watching the History Channel. And they do great work, especially on World War II and Hitler. And it was sort of towards the later years of the war, as Germany was being bombarded by us and by Britain and by everybody. And listen, there was no mercy shown. But the ideology and philosophy of the Nazis, you know, tell me where this is any different than the ideology that says that they want to wipe Israel off the map, or the ideology that tells Christians convert or die. Tell me where there is a distinction or difference. I would argue that the Hitler analogy is way overused. The Holocaust analogy is way overused. But in this case, I can't think of a better analogy. And that is that these people, radical Islamists, are telling us and showing us by their deeds that that's what, in fact, what they want.
Sean, you're absolutely correct. I had 200 members of my family killed in the Holocaust in Germany and Poland. So I'm addressing this from a very, in our family cemetery in New York is the name of all of these family members. Now, the difference is, right now, we could stop it. We could end this, and it wouldn't take World War III.
This is 19... So in other words, this is 1937, 38.
I think that's the right analogy. The machinery of the extermination is not up to its full capacity yet. ISIS is not at its full anywhere near its full capacity yet. So if you do the right action now, you can stop it. Or are we going to do what basically the rest of the world did? I mean, the Neville Chamberlain approach. You know, we're going to appeasement does not work when you're dealing with radical
jihadists.
All right,
but here's the difference. If you're dealing with a country like Germany and a madman like Hitler, mm-hmm. You don't have a moving obscure target like you have with modern day terrorism. It's a different battle. It's a different type of war. Now, we do know where they're located. We do know the cities that they've taken over. We do know the areas where they're persecuting Christians. We do know the areas where these groups like Hamas are lobbing weapons and rockets at Israel. So it seems like there's an awful lot of intelligence that's available in terms of knowing who the enemy is, but we don't seem to ever want to act.
Sean, we could root them out. And I'm not a military expert, but I work with a couple of guys that are. This was not, one of which served in Iraq. This is not a complicated military operation if it had to come to that, and it has come to that. This is something you've got to make a commitment that we're not going to allow. This is exactly why you're saying that. You know, I'm always careful with the Holocaust analogies, too. But this is the same situation in this sense. You've got a group of people targeted for extinction because of who they are and what they believe by a group that has lethality capability that we have never seen. I mean, could you imagine the lethality that the Nazis would have had a radiological bomb capability? Well, ISIS does.
What you're saying is ISIS has seized uranium in sufficient quantities to make a dirty bomb. Now, but it gets deeper than that, because I think at the heart of all of these groups, if you look at the proxy war that has been fought against Israel all these years, you got to get to the heart and soul of it has often been the proxy war fought by Iran. Iran now pursues nuclear weapons. I don't think they're capable of making a deal. Their supreme leader said just in the last week and a half, once again, that he wants to wipe Israel off the map. I don't think their ideology has shifted or changed in any way. I don't think there's been a change of heart. And, you know, as I interviewed Prime Minister Netanyahu, I don't think it's just Israel. I think Israel's just the start for these radicals.
I mean, the real target, and this was in your interview with Benjamin Netanyahu, and I've talked to the Prime Minister about it, too, and he said it. We're the great Satan, in their view. I mean, the West is really, they're moving West when they go to Israel, but the fact of the matter is, we're the big target. But, you know, Sean, at the end of the day, and I really appreciate the coverage you've given to this, because we are witnessing a historic moment in world history right now with this ISIS threat. When I was in Oxford and got these liberal professors saying this is a group you got to crush, and the United States' response is tepid at best, if you could even call it a response, and we're going to witness the decapitation and brutal murder of literally tens of thousands of Christians in Iraq, Israelis, Jews in Israel, and we're going to let this take place, and we always blame the wrong side. So this is a point in time and a point in history where we've got to assess where we are and take definitive action because the lethality of these groups are dangerous.
This is why the president made a mistake by trying to pressure Israel into going into the ceasefires. And the pressure was enormous. I mean, all the reports about the schism and the split between Bibi and the administration, that's all real. There's nothing manufactured about that. Now, but the answer would have been that we would have stood by Israel's side and we would have fought with them and defended their ability to defend themselves against 3,500 rockets being fired into their cities and tunnels that are built to sophisticated tunnels. And I was in them to to kidnap and kill Israeli students. And similarly, you know, we could be arming the Kurds right now. We could be arming and sending military support and surveillance and intelligence to help identify the locations. I'm not saying putting boots on the ground necessarily, right. But I don't think pinprick, you know, bombs being fired occasionally from a drone are going to answer the problem of the rise of radicalism.
You know, Sean, the Israelis, and the pressure was immense, and you were there and saw it, and I've represented Israel's interests before the International Criminal Court. I've been through this game before. And here's the fact. Hamas could have been wiped out on this last. They could have wiped out Hamas's real terror capability, but the pressure from the administration to stop, and this is constantly what happens with President Obama, to make the Israelis stop is if the Israelis were the bad actors. I mean, that's what's so bizarre with all of this. They get it backwards.
I agree.
But they could have strangled Hamas.
Is it about the president, the guy that the tides were supposed to recede when he became president? What is it? Anyway, am I running out of time? I'm running out of time. I didn't realize I was being yelled at by my producer, Linda.
Don't let her yell at you. All right.
All right. We'll talk again. Jay Sekulow, American Center for Law and Justice. Thank you for being with us.
Again, folks, that was Jay on with Sean Hannity on his radio broadcast from yesterday. If you have not yet signed the petition for Pastor Saeed's release, it is online at BeHeardProject.com. And like I mentioned in the last segment of the broadcast, I encourage you to attend a prayer vigil on September 26th for Pastor Saeed. You can find the entire list of vigils online. It is also at BeHeardProject.com. But folks, as we close the broadcast today, returning to this issue of ISIS, we said it in the last segment, Christians are being exterminated. I would just say to you, from the standpoint of a fellow believer, we have a biblical obligation to come to the aid of our brothers and sisters who are in need. And even more than that, folks, from a geopolitical perspective, I believe that history is going to look back on this situation. It will look at the United States, and it will find the United States in one of two places. They will find the United States either on the side of the afflicted and on the side of the persecuted, or it will find us standing by while genocide occurs. Folks, our call at the ACLJ is for this government to stand up and take an unequivocal position that we will come to the aid of those who are being slaughtered because of their religious beliefs. There are a lot of religious beliefs that are in the wake of ISIS right now, but most of them are Christians. Folks, as radical terrorists attempt to gun them down, this government, the leading government of the free world, has to stand up. We have to stand in that gap. We have to look that raw evil in the eye, and we have to stop it from seeking to destroy those who are innocent and who are standing in its way. We ask that you would stand with us in that call of this government, insisting that the United States government take a lead in this effort. Call now 877-989-2255. Or sign online at aclj.org. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Those who do not comply, according to the terrorist group, will, quote, face death by the sword. This persecution of Christians must not be permitted to continue. Stand with the ACLJ and demand that the United States and other nations engage. It's imperative there must be a global outcry and global action to stop the slaughter of Iraqi Christians. Call now 1-877-989-2255 or please add your name online aclj.org.